Peter Rayner has a tough job. As the Monitor's movie critic, he has to be honest with some pretty prominent people in Hollywood. In a Why We Wrote This podcast in 2023, Peter shared with host Clay Collins the time that Quentin Tarantino called him out during an awards event. The story director told the audience that Peter had never given him a good review, even though he long admired the critic's work. The problem I have with his movies and with violence on film in general, it's not so much the depiction of violence that I don't care for, it's the lack of consequence to the violence, Peter told Clay. It takes courage to go against popular opinion. But Mr. Tarantino's acknowledgement of Peter's work shows that honesty earns respect. In today's issue, you'll hear Peter's first impressions from the International Film Festival happening through Sunday in Toronto. Here's a brief excerpt from that 2023 podcast about how Peter chooses festival films to review for The Monitor.
If you just look at the program catalog, every movie is a masterpiece. So there are several ways that you can do it. One is that you say, well, I know this actor. I want to see a film with this actor or this director or writer or subject. And you just sort of do that. I mean, there are some movies that are kind of obligatory to see anyway because of advanced buzz or whatever. So, but then you're sort of on your own to some extent with the rest of it. And I try in these festivals to look at films that I think Monitor readers and myself would be most interested in long term. My general rule of thumb, if you're just a civilian or even a critic in the wild and you go into a festival and you don't really know what to see, it's a better bet to try to choose documentaries over fiction films, because documentaries tend to be made by people who have a real passion for the subject. They know they're not going to make much money from it. There are no movie stars. They had to scrimp and save for years to make this film. And therefore, it stands a good chance of being interesting. Even if the film isn't particularly well made or whatever, often the subject is really interesting. And ultimately, I think that's more valuable than just a lot of fancy cinematography. I can be pretty selective with The Monitor in ways that I often wasn't with other outlets, where you have to cover a lot of movies that are basically there to be reviewed because they're there, but they're not especially noteworthy or good. So that's a real boon. I'm always aware of, for want of a better word, the humanistic element in film. I think that ultimately those are the kinds of films that I most respond to.
It's Thursday, September 11th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Kendra Nordine Beato. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Charlie Kirk died after being shot at a Utah event. The CEO and co-founder of the conservative youth organization Turning Point USA was shot Wednesday at Utah Valley University. Videos posted to social media show Mr. Kirk speaking while sitting under a white tent when a single shot rings out and Mr. Kirk can be seen reaching for his neck. Gabby Giffords, a former U.S. representative for Arizona who was shot in 2011, posted on X, "Democratic societies will always have political disagreements, but we must never allow America to become a country that confronts those disagreements with violence." European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen announced plans to seek sanctions and a partial trade suspension against Israel over its military actions in Gaza. This marks a shift from her previous pro-Israel stance. The European Union is divided on the issue, and it's uncertain if a majority will support the measures. Ms. von der Leyen said the suffering in Gaza has shaken the conscience of the world. Israel denies claims of starvation in Gaza. Hong Kong's legislature rejected a bill that would have granted limited rights to same-sex couples. Lawmakers voted 71-14 against the measure, despite a 2023 court order requiring a framework to recognize same-sex partnerships by October. Advocates call the outcome a setback, noting rising public support for marriage equality. The number of countries allowing same-sex marriages or civil unions has gradually risen since 2001. Also, a NASA rover may have found signs of ancient life on Mars. A rock core gathered last year by the Perseverance rover found iron-rich minerals and chemical patterns often linked to biological activity on Earth. Researchers caution that the findings published in Nature are not conclusive. Non-biological processes could explain the patterns. Still, the finding adds weight to the theory that Mars could once have hosted life. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. Chinese students and scholars have long made up the largest foreign scientific community in America, a major talent pool. The Trump administration has not made them feel welcome. Can Beijing tempt them to return home? And Scott Tyson reports from Seattle for The Monitor. Israel on Tuesday tried but failed to kill its top negotiating partner in Gaza peace talks. The attack involved Israeli jets bombing the capital of Qatar, a key American ally, without giving Washington due warning. What were they thinking? Dina Kraft reports from Tel Aviv, Israel, for The Monitor. What leads people to disobey an evacuation order? In Gaza City, many residents say there is simply no place to go. Ghada Abdul Fattah reports from Gaza City, Gaza Strip, for The Monitor. At the 50th annual Toronto International Film Festival, our critic has watched more than 20 movies. His takeaway? Movies, good, bad, or indifferent, can be a passport to global understanding. Peter Rayner reports from Toronto for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on Africa's climate action as a growth plus. A just-concluded climate summit for Africa, the second one for the continent, attracted thousands of participants and more than 50 heads of state. The turnout in Ethiopia underscored not only Africa's vulnerability to extreme weather, but also, encouragingly, a shared vision to tackle the effects of climate change in a way that promotes economic growth. The summit's tone signaled a move past the often unmet expectations of foreign assistance for climate adaptation. The focus was on coordinating priorities among African nations, unlocking human and natural resources, and seeking investment in African-led innovation in green technology and food security. Kenya's climate envoy, Ali Mohammed, called for a continent-wide climate pact to replace isolated national plans. And Wamkele Bene, head of the continent's Free Trade Secretariat, said the point is to mobilize African capital first, shifting from being an aid recipient to being an investment partner, the news site Mangabe reported. At the summit, a deal was sealed among some large African banks and development finance institutions to mobilize $100 billion for building out renewable energy for new industries. The African Union and European partners agreed to boost access to electricity through cross-border transmission infrastructure. About 600 million Africans, or roughly 40% of the continent's population, do not have electricity. Even within the constraints of climate change and poverty, Africa's citizens demonstrate high entrepreneurial energy and drive. If political and business leaders match actions to summit words, African nations can avoid or leapfrog some of the environmental pitfalls of industrialization models followed by the West, Asia, or Latin America. But this would call for less bureaucracy, more innovation-friendly policies, and reliable, accountable governance and financial institutions. The scope for climate-resilient investment is growing, with the African Development Bank allocating $5.5 billion in 2024. And a new report this week shows that private finance for such investments worldwide reached $134 billion in 2024, a 33% increase from 2023. Perhaps Ethiopia's Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed best summed up Africa's evolving stance and potential for climate action. "We are not here to negotiate our survival," he said, declaring that Africa is poised to design a new type of climate-resilient economy. "Do not fund us because we are impacted by climate change, but invest with us because we are visionary." The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how the motive to bless others doesn't drain us, but it blesses us too. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Tim Malone and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.